You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters.
Episode 18. Let's meet Farmyard co-founder Marsha with host Linda Borgi and guest Farmyard co-founder Marsha Howe.
Hey, how are you? Linda Borgi here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? Another beautiful day to podcast. I love to podcast. Oh, yes, I do. I am learning so much. I can't tell you how much I'm learning from all these interviews. But today's guest is very near and dear to my heart. And I fondly refer to her as the Pearl on Pearl. And I can tell you, my dear listeners, that if it wasn't for Marsha Miller Howe, we would not be speaking here today, because it was her and I in the very beginning with this plan to, you know, to help 48 and a half million acres of turf grass grow food. And no one was going to tell us that we couldn't do it. And we really persevered and we supported each other as if we were one. And I mean, she slept on the sofa and I slept in her bed for a long time, for I think it was 3 weeks or something like that. But anyway, so we were the duo. And so I want to, without further ado, I want to bring my pal on, Miss Marsha Miller Howe. Marsha, are you there?
I am, Linda. You're a crack up.
In that treehouse?
You're so sweet. Yeah, up in the treehouse.
Oh, I love where she lived.
Managed to stir up a lot of trouble and get things going, huh?
Oh, well, yeah. I think we were just meant to adhere to each other like glue. We were both in need of each other at that time, don't you think, Marsh?
Well, because we both shared the same vision of wanting to make this happen. And I'd never met anybody like you who had just really, you were really burning to make it happen. And I love that authenticity and that determination about such an important matter that I just had to be a part of it. And you're right. I couldn't do it without you. We each are a part. In fact, everybody that's listening to us is a part of making this movement happen.
Mm-hmm. They are. But back in the day, Marsha.
Right now, huh?
We have some stories. We have stories, but I do want to share a little bit. I want you to share a little bit about that history, because Marsha and I actually go back to the summer of 2015, right, Marsha?
Yeah, that's right.
Why did you tell them about the conference? You know, and a little bit about how we developed our relationship.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say to you, Linda, I just love seeing your son Brandon on Facebook with that bee swarm. And I wanted to say, when I saw that, I realized that you and I really share this, that each of our children really care about these matters of getting their hands dirty and knowing about growing food. And that just is really something special. So when I saw you this morning.
Oh, thank you, Marsha. Yeah. And I mean, dear God, I'm like, it was like I had a visit with the Pope or something like that, because he has agreed to a podcast interview. And that is, let me tell you, that's going to be a funny one. That what? Because he is a chip off the old block. He is hysterical. Just as a tiny little snippet, you know, he's getting married in July and he's a Gemini and I'm a Pisces and they mix like oil and vinegar. But anyway, so I asked him only for the second time. So Brandon, have you and your lovely, bride to be decided where you're going to go on your honeymoon? So he said, yeah, you know, we were really considering North Korea.
Not funny.
I started to laugh. I said, so, because he just doesn't want to tell his mother. I said, so, Ed, do you have like a second choice? He said, yeah, if not North Korea, then possibly South Korea. I said, so you're stuck on the Koreas, are you?
Yeah, right.
I mean, really, you know, so we need to be lighthearted, you know, for at least for food growing. But he is a sub-acre urban farmer in the hood of Jersey City, New Jersey, and he grows on beds and he's a beekeeper. So he is also a wealth of knowledge. So I'm glad you enjoyed that video. Yep. Everyone on the line should really just go to Facebook and join the Farmyard Movement community. And yeah. Then you'll get all this cool stuff like Marsha's referring to. But this isn't about Brandon. And this isn't about me, Miss Marsha House. You're not going to get off this sticky stick that easy. This is about finding out about the pearl on pearl. So let's tell them. Tell them how we it all began.
Well, I had been, working here in the food movement in Fayetteville, North Carolina, because when I first got here, it was my first experience of living in a food desert. I had come from California and I was shocked that I really could not find food that I would want to eat. It was very difficult. And because now I was so many thousands of miles away from where any of the food was coming from, because hardly anyone was growing food right here for, you know, regular produce for people. So, and so I just realized one day, in fact, I have this, well, let's just put it like this. Let me just tell you a little part here. I think Linda and I both have lived quite a while, and we've witnessed firsthand the degradation of the food supply, and that we are generations, so many generations away from where our food comes from. And when I was a child, fast food actually didn't even exist until I was a teenager. And then I got into it like everybody else, pretty much. But even back then, they used actually real food instead of food-like substances that are so common in fast food today. But anyway, I never forgot what real food tastes like. And so, and actually when I was in California as a young person, I lived there during the 70s. And so it was the height of the Back to the Land movement. So I was really fortunate to learn a lot of from scratch self-reliant skills, because that was, I really had an interest in it and had some good mentors. And but then now fast forwarding, when I got here to North Carolina, not only was it a food desert, but diabetes and chronic disease, the rates of those were just glaring. And it was really a poor situation. So as the truth about GMOs was emerging, and I'm realizing all this because I followed it my whole life, you know, these matters, I couldn't sit on the sidelines anymore. Mm-hmm. That was the thing, is that when I met Linda, she has never sat on the sidelines. And so it's like, that's why this partnership could work so well, is that fun, you know, I was really, I just couldn't sit and allow this to happen without saying something, and what was happening to our food system. So I have a card that I always kept by my computer there in the beginning, and it said, I always wondered why somebody didn't do something about that. And then I realized that I was somebody, right?
I was somebody, yes.
And so I started this group called Sustainable Neighbors, which, Linda, guess what? 2 days ago, it hit 1,000 members.
Oh, how wonderful, Marsha.
And it really is just a local group. It's supposed to be local, but I have people chime in on Facebook sometimes from, I had one chime in from Hawaii. They said, I'm a sustainable neighbor over here in Hawaii.
Lovely.
And so that just, you know, I've just seen a steady growth of people interested.
How many years, Marsha?
So it's been 5 now. And so then when I was looking for ways to help people grow food because my vision was very similar to Linda. I could see that if we just did this by neighborhood and helped each other in our backyards and front yards grow food, then if something happened, we'd be able to, you know, we'd be able to actually manage things because we know our neighbors, we're growing food. Maybe some people, their yard's better for chickens. So when I found, okay, so in my searching, I found out about spin farming. And then that is how I found Linda, because she was the main trainer for spin farming. And she's actually taught, I don't know if she's told you this, but she's actually taught, you know, around the world in Africa and Australia through the internet. So when I found out about this and then we started talking on the phone, I was already working with Fayetteville State University here, because the kids there on that campus realized they were in a food desert. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. So as a community member, I just teamed up with them and they got a grant and we were able to pop up a market in that food desert neighborhood. And so what was really cool is that when I found out about Linda, then there was this opportunity to bring her, because there were other people in the faculty there that really wanted to find the economic edge about growing food that could be a moneymaker for people that want to get into that business. So I knew that spin was, you know, and learning to grow food and make money was a great way to do this. So I, you know, was able to get it set up that Linda could come here, and we did a couple webcasts after that, webinar classes for more students online.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, and there were some other things along that line that we did. But what has evolved is that we needed to do this. We needed to be online so we could help more people learn through these classes how to start growing food, even if it's just for their family. And if they want to make money, well, Linda's your gal. She can show you how to do it. And then the other thing about Linda that has really made a big difference in my life is that one of my biggest frustrations was, as I'm helping people grow food in their yards, is what do we do about the soil? Because the only way that I knew to do anything was to just make my own compost, which Linda and I both can attest to that, you know, if you're one person making, you know, making compost, you're not going to make very much very fast. So what are we going to do about all this degenerated soil? You know, and how can we help people make it? How can we make that easy? And then, of course, we found, which some of you can listen to the podcast on this one, but we found Evan Folds, the soil doctor. And oh, my goodness. So with Linda and her background in biodynamics, which was really new to me, I had heard of it, of course, because I'm a permaculture practitioner. So I knew about biodynamics, but I really didn't know. You know, I didn't know. I'd never delved into it. And Linda's been immersed in it for 21 years. So, and then when she met Evan, who's been doing it also, not as long as her, but nearly. And then he has made it easy so that anybody can regenerate their soil, because we know that if it's not in the soil, it's not going to be in our food. So the nutrient-dense food has everything to do with that. So we have the complete package, Linda.
I know. Thank God, right? Thank God. And I have to really thank Spin Farming, because both Marsha and Evan were both sent to me from Spin Farming. Evan had contacted the Spin Farming organization, seeing if they wanted to include, you know, soil in their menu of teaching. And they said no, but I'm sure Linda Borgi would. And so that's how we met. And we all met at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was very synchronistic. It was really very synchronistic. But when we first started, Marsha, huh? Pixels. How about the pixels, Marsha?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And how about them even still for me?
Oh, the pixels.
I love to help write blogs, but boy, when it comes to all the technical, what would we do without Chris?
Oh, our sack.
Yes.
We should explain what that is, SAC, S-A-K, yes. All capital. It's an acronym. Go ahead, Marsha.
It's actually a ninja SAC.
Ninja SAC.
So she is our Swiss Army knife.
Yes, that's what she is, Chris Hitter.
And she's our ninja Swiss Army knife, because whenever we come on, what we have to figure out in this whole thing to do, this realm online is very complicated and it's not easy to figure out. And she is like a Swiss Army knife, whatever tool you need.
Whoa.
She can figure it out. I mean, it's like, she must be at least 10 people in one, because
I think she's more than that, but we could ask her. She actually, I think she knows, but I'm not quite sure, but she is absolutely amazing. You know, what's so great about our FarmYard team, Marsha? What's so great is everybody is in their sweet spot.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Doing what they love to do, what they're good at.
Yes.
That is so awesome. But because it's a movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need everyone to share the information, yes. Share this podcast. The more downloads we get, the more attention we'll get. Look, it's 47.5 million acres.
Right.
Of turf grass. So it's a lot of turf. And then, you know, along with that, at the same time, we need to spray the country.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about microbes and about compost tea and your experience with compost tea and stirring and all that stuff, Marsha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as we speak, I have my brew, and it is bubbling on my porch at my apartment in my treehouse.
Now, she's not a witch. I just have to clarify that. Go right ahead, Marsha.
What?
Bubbling your brew. You're not a witch.
Oh, no, not at all. it's more like, I'm thinking more like fermenting when I say that.
Ah, okay.
Because the natural ferments do their own bubbling, right?
Sure.
Well, this is what's really remarkable is that I, in that bucket, I put very little in from what Evan's able to give us. And it's the microorganisms and it's the food for them, because they're the construction workers that need to be sprayed or watered into our soil. And so they're being hydrated and fed right now. And then I go ahead and do this very special stirring that you do when you're a biodynamic farmer, which I am now, kind of.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes.
Is you stir one way and make a vortex, just like if you notice when the water goes down the sink, it goes in this circular vortex movement. Well, we create that in the bucket. And then we go the other direction. And that actually changes the structure of the water. And we do that for at least 20 minutes or so. Some people do it an hour. And it actually makes the water wetter. It actually is changing it so that this water, the reason that if you use this, you'll use 50% less water on your garden is because the plants are able to uptake the moisture and the water into the cells in a much more efficient manner.
You are such an excellent student, Marsha.
Thank you.
You are welcome. And then I am going to interject this as well. Because of the principles of physics, you know, and now we're finding it out through physics, that energy follows thought, right? While you're stirring for this 20 minutes or hour, and I always choose to stir for an hour because that's the only hour that I'm actually sitting with nothing else to do. And sometimes, you know, I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
I do that as well. And I put my intention for what I'm going to be spraying. And
And then those thoughts are actually going into the water. And at the end of the stir, the water changes viscosity. It's thicker. It's thickerer, as my little 2-year-old niece would say. It's thickerer. It's thickerer, Aunt Linda. I said, yes, thickerer, Gabrielle. So what have you seen since you've been spraying Microbe Makers compost tea in a box? Have you seen any differences?
Yes. I have a public project on a bridge where I grow perennial plants, all edible, that I've put in. And I've just been barely nursing that along with just compost. And by the soil doctor who gave me a prescription for a few more minerals that I needed to also add to the soil, I've been applying, and it's amazing. Things, I feel more alive when I'm on the bridge. Everything around me is more alive, and things are taken off, and I'm just amazed. I'm finding more worms, and it's just amazing.
It's a shift in the energy.
Yes, it is.
See, as a biogenetic farmer, I am not just farming the earth beneath my feet, but I am farming the air as well, because there's certain preparations, you know, biodynamic preparations that you can get from Josephine Porter Institute in Wool Wine, Virginia. So let's talk about this one preparation that would be Equisetum, which is horsetail, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you brew a batch on the stove and you make a tea. And now there's scientific research with this, so I don't know all the science, the words, like, but what it is silica. That's what horsetail is. It's silica. Yeah. And silica is light, you know. So you dilute that in water and you spray that. It's a good thing to bring the light in. Preparation 501, which is actually quartz crystal, which is ground and ground and ground and ground and processed through a certain way. You spray that to bring the light in. It refracts the light. Now, you know, there's such things, and I just want to mention one thing, because this just happened from whence I came, and that is the Hudson Valley in New York State. Last night, night before last, it dipped down to 32 degrees. Now, I lived in apple country. All of those trees were in bloom. Now, if they only knew about the valerian, you know, $3.25 per acre, you spray it and you wouldn't lose your crop. Stuart Lundy, and that's a past podcast as well, biogenetic farmer in Virginia. Him and I were stirring valerian at the same time. He has an orchard and I had nasturtiums and tomato plants out, and neither of us lost anything. So it's really about spreading the knowledge, right, Marcia? That's what Farm a Yard is.
That's
it's
right.
A movement of yard.
That's right.
Now listen, Marcia, I think that we really, really, really have to talk about the jingle and how the jingle came about.
Oh, okay.
Well,
we just felt like every movement ought to have a song or a jingle.
I must have said it to Marcia for 1,000 times. I would say to her, you know, Marcia, we need a jingle. Everything needs a jingle. So then one day when I went up into the treehouse, she says, guess what I have? I said, what? She said, I have it. I wrote a jingle. I said, you did? She said, I did. And it's to the battle that... She did it to the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and she proceeded to play it and sing it. She played it on her ukulele. It is so cute. It is so cute.
Yeah, we get to sing it at the next gig in Pittsburgh, too, when you're speaking.
Yeah, we're going to sing it, and we're going to sing it now. but then let's take the progression. So I thought, I said, you know, we really could use somebody professional to do it. So I have a friend, Anders, in DC, and he's so big into music and so big into helping local musicians, dear God. So I sent him a message. I said, hey, you have a musician that wants to sing our jingle? He immediately answered, yes, contact Carolyn Ferranti. And that's, I did. And she did. Now, she didn't do it to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She did.
She just painted country western,
yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Totally. Yahoo, she says.
We have
to put that in the show notes, Marcia.
Yeah, definitely.
But now, Marcia, we have to sing it, right?
Just a little editing note. We had to bring in the jingle from the Cultivating Prophets conference for this episode, since you can't sing together when somebody's going to be muted while you're talking.
The autumn is a movement. Have you heard? Turn on into food. Spread the word. Make some connections. Self feed the world. Farmer Yard. It's a movement. Have you heard? Farm to table. We are able.
Miss Marcia, the Pearl on Pearl, wrote our jingle. Yay. I love our jingle, Marcia.
Well, we're quite the duo. I don't know.
Oh, I tell you, we are two peas in a pod. And, you know, I think it's really important for the listeners to understand we are not alike in many ways.
Oh, absolutely.
We have different philosophies. We have different beliefs, you know, those kind of things. But none of that has ever been a hindrance. You know why I think it is, Marcia? I think because the thing that we do, and if everybody could do this, how lovely would it be when you meet someone new, right? Both of us looked at how we were alike first.
Yeah.
And we never got to how we are different.
That's right.
You know, it was so far down the list.
Yeah.
So if we did that to everyone that we met, right?
Right.
Wow. What a different world it would be. So we have a few minutes left. So go ahead.
I want to say something to that too. I actually have something I wanted to put out there too.
Go ahead, honey.
I'm glad you brought that up because I realized that, you know, even though we are very different in our background and all kinds of things, I'm West, you're East, right?
Yeah. Yes. But, that's so true too.
Right. It is. But we share the same passion for the healing of the land and the people.
Yes.
And I knew I could work with you because you are so genuine and authentic and honest, and you're not afraid to be who you are and to do what you were meant to do. And your passion to grow food is contagious. And anyway, watching you grow in that yard down in South Carolina with hardly any tools, you know, it just makes attainable, you know, this whole thing is attainable for anybody.
Farming with a plastic fork and a knife.
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
It's just like whatever you got, you can make it work, you know.
That's right. That's right. I think that what I would love to for both of us to express briefly is if we had our druthers, right? Mm-hmm. What would our surroundings look like in 5 years?
What mine is.
Go ahead.
It's what I already talked about a little bit, is that neighborhood by neighborhood, as we get to know, and this movement could grow in the neighborhood, and we heal the soil, and guess what? People will get well. All this chronic disease that, you know, like us, Joel Salatin says, folks, this ain't normal, right?
Ain't normal.
And And I truly believe with all my heart, if we get back to real food and heal the soil, then so much is going to be healed. You know, even the division in our country will be healed by coming to the table, by growing and eating food together.
Most definitely. And my vision in 5 years is the same as Marsha's. And my neighborhood is global.
Yes.
There is absolutely no reason why anyone should be hungry.
That's right.
There really isn't. We have to shift things. We have to move things around. All we need to do is turn this food train wreck around. And some things you know, right, Marsha? Some things you know. And some things you know, you know. And right. I know that we're going to do it, that there's no question in this woman's mind whether or not we can do it. We are doing it already.
Right.
And it's everybody's responsibility at this moment in time to spread the word that we are doing it. Gather. That's what we have to do. That's our relationship. Our relationship is food. That's what our connector is. Food, water, and air. Without those three things, we would need to be connected to each other at all, at any time, period, the end. But we are connected by those three things. And I've seen it time and time again. And I have landed in a lot of places. I've lived in a lot of places. And every place I have landed, oh my God, for the past 40 years, I've been growing food in the front of my house. And as soon as the food started growing in the front of my house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the neighborhood changed. Everything. Because there was always an abundance, and I'm sending it to this neighbor and I'm sending it to that neighbor. Or at one location, I put a sign up, you know, out in front. Strawberries, eat the red ones. And that's what people would do. There was no sidewalk. As they walked to the bus to get on the bus to go to New York City, they would walk by and they would pick the red strawberries. It changes the energy of the neighborhood. But now let's look at the way we're doing it now, right? We are putting poison down. We are using 40% of the drinking water on the East Coast. How disgraceful to water turf grass.
Right.
But we're flipping it, Miss Marsha, my pearl of pearl.
And, you know, I'd like to invite our listeners to be a part of the movement with us.
Well, they are. They are, number one, because they're listening, right?
Yes. And if this mission to help others grow food in your yards resonates, then we're just making it easier and easier for people to really take action.
Well, what we're doing is we're gathering the skill sets that you guys need to go from A to success right from the get-go. And it's going to be in the area of food and water, those two, food, water, soil. There you go. Everything that has to do with food, water and soil, right? Now food, let's talk about food. It's not just the growing of food. It'll be the canning of food, the wild crafting of food.
Yeah, how to make and eat all this stuff you're growing.
Right, yes. How do you know how much to grow? I mean, all of that is going to be covered. And a lot of this information will be placed as free tutorials right on our community page. And that page is the Farmyard Movement community page right on Facebook. Just go there and request to become a member. And one of our co-founders will accept you. And there you go. And that's where we're going to have conversations. That's where, like Pinky and the Brain said, right, Marsha? That's where we're going to have a sinister plan to take over the world. Well, that's us. We want a zucchini. We want a tsunami of zucchini. We want Broccoli Boulevard. We want Lettuce Lane. And we want it now. Look, we're grandmas.
Yep.
We've been at it a long time. You don't want us to come out there and give you the back of our hands, do you?
Oh, we wouldn't do that anyway.
Well, my grandma would give you the wet rag. right in the back of your thigh, right? She'd wet her dish towel. Don't let me give you the wet rag, she would say. Oh, but there were 13 of us.
Well, that was some good training for you.
Oh, she taught me everything I know, Miss Marcia, everything about giving and compassion. You know, everyone on the Farmyard team believes that we are teaching for the outcome, not
yes.
for the income.
I was just saying that. I was just going to say that too, because really that is where we are absolutely the same in this, is
yes.
that we can't help ourselves. We have to teach. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the income. It's about the outcome. Absolutely.
All four of us. And when you get four people, right, two being Pisces, Evan and I, you know, we float above the earth or whatever.
Right.
We can fly. We think we can. We believe we can fly. And then we do.
Yeah, that's right.
But when you have this level of passion, we know it's going to take off. So, really, we'll put all the links in the show notes to how you could stay connected, you know, Facebook and all that jazz, right, Marcia?
Yep, we will.
All righty. Well, anything else you want to add, my friend?
I think that's it. Just thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank all of you for listening. Really, really appreciate your time. And spread the word. Share our podcast. Let's get it downloaded a billion times. Okay.
That's right.
All right. So I will catch you on the flip side. And until then, you ready, Marcia?
Ready?
Go farm your yard.
Next on the Farmyard Podcast, The Wealth is in the Weeds, with host Linda Borgie. This podcast is community supported. We thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you goes out to all our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy our content, please subscribe and share. You can help support us through Farm A Yard, all one word, on patreon.com.